Turn in the Word of God to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. This is God's holy word. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. This message is entitled, A New Light in Christ. A New Light in Christ. What makes us different from the world? What makes us different from the world? And that might even be another question to ask. Are we to be different from the world? And how are we to be different from the world? Is it in terms of knowledge? In some sense, yes. Does not mean intellectually, perhaps we're more gifted. But that's not all that it is. Is it hope? And if we're Christians believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have an enduring hope. Something the world does not have. If you look at the world and sadly look at various parts of where I'm from in the Republic, sometimes the suicide rates are going up because people sadly do not have hope. There's desperation. Verse 9 in these verses tells us the darkness is passing away. What does this mean? The darkness is passing away. Older translations, like the Authorized Version and the Geneva Bible, says that the darkness is past. This idea that there's something new being brought out. The Apostle John, who penned this epistle under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, was concerned that those who read this epistle truly know God. He says in verse 3, before these verses, now by this we know that we know him. What an interesting statement. We know that we know him. So often people can say, I know that I know, but how do you know? One of the things John is very concerned about when he's writing this epistle, not to hardened atheists out in the world, but to Christians. He says in verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you. He is concerned. And what's his target audience? The church. His target audience is the church. And even in the verses that after these, in verses 12 to 14, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, to examine yourselves and see if ye be in the faith. It is so important that we do not run away from this question, especially if you've been raised in the church. Because you may have been regenerated in the womb. It's quite possible. You may have been regenerated at 2, at 3. You might not remember when you first began to believe on Christ. I was saved almost 10 years ago. The change was very dramatic. It's not always like that. But what is the test? And the verses preceding, he says, we know that we know him, verse 3, if we keep his commandments. John is concerned here that we know Christ. How do you know? Do you have the true light of Christ? And there's a nervousness sometimes to ask this question. Of course I'm a Christian. Do not bring up this question. Then why does John turn and say, brethren? That's a very tender thing. If somebody says to you, brother, brother, you are my brother. It's tender, it's embracing. I love you, it's almost saying. John the Apostle has this concern for those, who says in verse 7, which have this old commandment from the beginning. Do you have this new light in Christ? In this message, we're going to look at 5 points. Verse 7, an old commandment. Verse 8, a new commandment. Verse 9, no new light. Verse 10, a new light. And verse 11, an old blindness. An old blindness. Is this some new teaching? And often throughout the New Testament, people like the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans would think of objections that people might have to various doctrines that have been presented. After this, because in the first century, you have a large body of Jews, and they think, well, I'm okay. We've never been in bondage. And to those people, Jesus said in John chapter 8, you're of your father, the devil. Now that example was a very outward rebellion against the word of God. But often people who are blind, perhaps even in the visible church, don't know that they are lost. Don't know that they don't belong to Christ. God sends strong delusion that they may believe a lie. There is a judgment of God in this sense. But is this some new teaching? And very tenderly John says, brethren, verse 7, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. It's not new. This goes all the way back. As soon as Adam and Eve fell, they were in bondage to sin. But as soon as Adam fell, there was only one way to the Father. Now it's through Jesus. Now it was looking forward to the Redeemer who would come. The Lamb that would be slain. Back then, there was a looking forward. Because it's important to realize that this new light is not a casting off of the old truth and some brand new ideas. This is an old commandment and something that does not change. Brethren, today, many will ask and see what John is saying as some kind of novelty. Or they will say, well, you know what? That is other churches. They need to hear that. This is not true. We all need to hear this. This is a truth. Paul wrote to the Romans that he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, at the end of chapter 2, but one inwardly, the circumcision of the heart. And many within the visible church prior to the new covenant did not know Christ. Now in the new covenant, there's even greater outpourings of the Spirit of God. There's even greater blessings. There's even greater assurance that we belong to Him. But what is this novelty, quote unquote? It's not a novelty. But that the born again believer will keep the commandments of God and walk according to them. Not perfectly. There is no sinless perfection this side of eternity. And this is not something you make yourself. If you are a Christian, this is who you are. This is the very word from the beginning. Number two, a new commandment. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you. These verses together might seem confusing. Verse 7, John writes, I write a new commandment. And then in verse 8, he says again, a new commandment I write to you. And you might ask, which is it? Is it an old commandment or is it a new commandment? Is there some kind of a contradiction here? No. No contradiction here. It's an old commandment because it goes right back to from the beginning. Not a new gospel. The exhortation here, not just of John, but of other writers under the Spirit of God, to examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Are you trusting in Christ? That what the Bible says about a believer, is this a characteristic fruit, not imperfection, a characteristic fruit in your life that can do a number of things. If you are a true believer, can draw you ever closer to Christ. And we should want that. We should seek that. That we have greater assurance that we belong to Him. And it doesn't matter what age you are. For the first few months I was a Christian, I struggled a little bit with assurance. And it was not until we get serious with the Word of God and spend time with the Word of God. Not 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there, but that you say, no, the Word of God is the most important thing. I need to know from this. I need to cry out to God. I need to search the Scriptures. I need to love this to the point where I have no doubts that this is all that matters to me. That I belong to Him. It's an old commandment in one sense. It goes right back to the beginning. It's a new commandment in this sense. Everything is new. Everything is fresh. How? If you've been born blind and somehow your sight has been restored, what is that first sunset like? What is it like to see the faces of your children, of your family? It's fresh. It's new. It's joyous. And isn't this the context in which he's talking about here? A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. This is something that is true right now if you've been born again of the Spirit of God. This is true in Him, in Christ. The true light is already shining in Him. If you're going to an art gallery, and again, you've never seen a painting before, the paintings aren't new, but they appear new to you in a joyous, glorious way. I don't know if anybody likes, there's sometimes YouTube videos and viral videos, and one time I saw there's a number of children who have poor hearing, and maybe it's like 5%, 10%, and they receive hearing aids for the first time, and they've never heard their parents up until that time. And what do they see in their faces? Joy. The little child is joyful. So one word, the child could not stop laughing. It's new, it's fresh. And are we like that with the Word of God? That it's exciting. That the world is decaying and we have little interest in it. Yes, we are to be in the world. We're not to be monastic. We are to work within our jobs and be productive and be good farmers, be good bankers, whatever our Monday to Saturday job is. We're to do it with all of our might, to the best of our abilities. But at the same time, we serve another kingdom that is not of this world. And does it show itself in our lives? The people who work with you, people who go to school with you, members of your family, see that you find the Word of God exciting. Or do they think this is some religious thing that you put up with on a Sunday? It can be as simple as this. When you talk about the Word of God, that your eyes light up. And if they don't light up, brethren, what is wrong? Something is wrong. This does not mean that you're necessarily lost. It does not. But it means that you must repent and go back to your first love. We can read all the books about God we want to and stuff our minds full of the knowledge. But unless it is accompanied with a love for the truth, it will simply puff us up. What happens in Christ with this new light in Christ, His Word, His commandments even, His commandments, they're not killjoy things. These are things we now go, wow. Can you tell me you're a Christian or consistent with your profession of faith, but you have a problem with the commandment to not steal, or to not commit adultery, or to not covet? Does it sound like it's consistent? And if you hate sin and love righteousness, can you tell me that that will not affect how you live? If you've been born deaf, to return to our example earlier, and music now becomes extraordinary to you, the first time you've ever heard classical music and you can't get enough of it, what will you see? I remember reading an article a couple of years ago of a man, and all he could do was, he was going through the different decades of the different types of music, and he was just addicted to it. Because it was amazing to him. It was new. He didn't know what all the fuss was about before. And if you have been born again outside of the church, been brought in before, like myself, I didn't know, why do they go to church on Sunday? Why do they read this book that is a couple of thousand years old? But because you've been born again, and the new light of Christ shines in your heart, making you love the truth. Now you can see this is exciting. This is the most interesting thing in the world. And we should treat it like that. Is the Word of God majestic? Is it beautiful to you? Does it outstrip any symphony ever written? And if it does not, don't you think we should change our attitude towards the Word of God? I'm not saying you can't enjoy music or anything like that. Of course you can. But surely this should be our greatest joy, our greatest delight. Number 3, verse 9, no new light. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Dear Christian, I pray that this does not describe you. Look at the first part. In verse 8 it says that the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. And that light grows as you grow closer to Christ, as you grow in union and communion with Christ, as you're being sanctified by the word of God, by the truth of the word of God. He who says he is in the light. There are people who say they're in the light and are not. It might seem like a very simple truth, but we can so easily skip over these things when we're reading them. There are people who say they're in the light and they are not. Sobering thought, is it not? Some Christians are more mature than others, okay? We can't compare ourselves with other people. Be very careful here. Be very, very careful. Because approached in the wrong way can discourage a genuine believer. Someone who truly loves Christ, but looks towards somebody else in the congregation and says, I am not as holy as that person, and they're discouraged. Stop comparing yourself with others, first of all. Some have more light than others. Some are gifted in different ways, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're more holy than you. Leave that in the Lord's hands. Look at the Word of God. However, there's a warning here. John, is he not known as the apostle of love? He is concerned. He is concerned. In the midst of all this truth, here's who you are. At the start of the epistle, he talks about this, that your joy may be full. That which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which we have handled, the word of life, reasons to be joyful, reasons to be confident. But in the midst of that, he takes great pains to point out someone who says that they walk in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And also it says, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who emphatically declares me to be Lord. Not everyone who says, but I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Very good. But what is the state of your heart? What makes your heart sing? Is it the word of God or is it the world? And again, brethren, if you're weak in the faith, if you're trying to get by with the bare minimum, I hope by God's grace that John's epistle scares you, that you will not slumber in your... This is eternity we're talking about. We're not talking about some blip. We're talking about where you will spend an eternity in the blessings of the Lord, and you can experience the blessings of the Lord here and now and be rejoicing. I get to come to church. I get to hear the word of God. I get to meet and talk to people I dearly love and who love the same Savior I love. That is wonderful. But if don't buy into modern Christianity, which is lowest common denominator, and do the bare minimum. Again, these are not hardened atheists. These are not obviously lax people. John even says to them, this is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Probably Jews. Probably raised in the church, it sounds like. In the visible church. Has the word of God, has the truth changed your heart? Has it changed your heart? Yes, you will stumble. Yes, you will fall. But are you still... Do you hate your brother? And notice how it goes to hate your brother. We can often... It's a kind of an acid test, is it not? We can all be difficult to deal with at times. I know I can be. We all have faults. We all have failings. We all fall short. We are all annoying at times, probably. But do you love your brother whom you see? Because if Christ, if he's in union with Christ, how can you claim to love your brother? If you don't love your brother, how can you claim to love Christ? Whom he is being changed and conformed into the image of. And love is not that you accept all their sin, not that there's no church discipline or anything like that, this is not what it's talking about, but you love them, they need help, you pray for them. Do you pray for your brother? Is there someone in the church that you don't get on with? Rectify that. Work in that relationship. Because it will rob you of joy. It will rob you of joy if you are bitter at anyone. Pray for that person. But they won't talk to me. Pray for that person. Weep over that person at home in your prayer closet. Show them love. Don't expect to see it first. Show them love. We see a very scary example of someone hating their brother, Cain and Abel. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. If you live in a righteous way, people are going to hate you, unfortunately. And it's not that we encourage that. It's not that we look for that. But the world hates Christ. There will be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. That goes right back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That enmity is only removed in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, for he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's one of the greatest acid tests. I remember when I used to work in Dublin, I would meet people in Cork. I would meet people who would tell me that they are Christians, they read the Bible, but they don't go to church. They had a bad experience in a church once or something like that. Now, perhaps they do know the Lord, and I hope that they do. But it's a really serious sign when you don't like to go to church and meet with the people of God. These are Christ's image bearers. It's kind of a barometer to your spiritual life. Brethren, there will be times it will be difficult to come to church. There will be. There will come challenges, difficulties, perhaps conflicts. Sometimes people may make up accusations. This can happen, and it's tragic when it does. But don't stop coming to church. John Calvin was kicked out of Geneva, I think it was for 3 years. People wrote to him about whether they should partake of the Lord's table with the libertines. The libertines were very licentious. They lived their own lives. They had no credible profession of faith. Calvin urged them to maintain the body, to maintain the unity that was there. There will be problems in every single church on this earth you will go to. All of them will. There are no perfect churches. Don't ever think about stop going to church. And as soon as you start thinking, well, that's not me. No, I would never think about doing that. Be very careful. This can happen very slowly. It can happen like the frog and the temperature, the water's been raised. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot go from being in light to going into darkness if you've been truly born again. But you can backslide. And you can go in the wrong direction. And you can cause others to stumble. Just because we are assured, if you're truly got assurance and praise the Lord, does not mean for slackness. The Lord can take assurance from you in order to chastise you and bring you back to Him. Do you love your brother? And don't just spend church, as wonderful as church is, as fantastic as it is to talk afterwards, etc. Meet together during the week. Pray together. See what needs people have. If they are sick, do you help them? Do you rejoice with them? Do you wish them well? And I mean really wish them well. In such a way that you would wish them well and they're not even in the room. Do you weep with them in their losses? It's essentially the second table of the law. To love your neighbor as yourself. We can only do this if we have the new light of Christ to love our brother. Because without that new light of Christ, we'll still be in darkness. And unable to do so. Number 4, a new light, verse 10. A new light, verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But if you do have that new light of Christ in your heart, then how wonderful is the church? The church is the greatest place to be. You often see works of art, perhaps crystals or even fireworks. We're amazed at spectacular displays of light. Where's the brightest place on planet Earth? The church. Where iron sharpens iron. Don't come to the church with a checklist of things you want. Go and be a blessing. Go and serve. Go and encourage others. Go and stir them up. Now notice what I say, encourage. I don't mean demoralize. I don't mean diminish. I mean encourage them in the right direction. And of course, if they're going the wrong direction, as we see in Matthew chapter 18, go to your brother and say, brother, should you really be doing that? Is this the best idea? You go tenderly, lovingly, prayerfully. They may be annoyed at you at first. But if they truly know the Lord, they'll eventually see you're doing it because you love them. It's the easiest thing in the world to tell people what they want to hear. It shows real love to tell them what they need to hear. There's nothing easy about a doctor telling a cancer patient that they have cancer. But the doctor has enough love for his patient to tell them the horrible news. It shows great love. And again, don't confuse this with, well, I need to be the harshest critic in order to show my love. This is not what I'm talking about. Sometimes we all need to work in different areas and we're stronger, weaker in different places. Some of us need to work on encouraging. Some of us are better with the negative stuff. Some of us are better with the positive stuff. But whatever we are lacking, that new light, let it shine forth before men. Embrace that light, dear Christian. Embrace it and love it, and it will shine out. It's not something you work up. It's something that naturally happens if you're alone with the Lord. Do you expect to grow if you only give, say, if you gave your child scraps of food? Be malnourished. Probably look sick. But sadly in the West, Christians are living off a meager diet, the bare minimum to get by. And just like someone in the developing world who looks like they have a poor diet, looks like they're ill, you can tell. Do you spend time with the Word of God? If you want a healthy relationship with your children, you know time is what you need to give them. Not a few minutes here and a few minutes there. You need to give them time. To have a good marriage, you need to give your spouse time. Time. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give anyone. Are we giving that time to the Lord? Not just on the Sabbath, but on other days. That we say, this time in the morning is for the Lord. I want to learn of Him. I want to listen to Him. If you don't listen, you won't grow. If you don't eat, and if you don't eat prayerfully, embrace the light, dear Christian. Don't stumble in the dark. See who you are in Christ. What a privilege you have. What a joy you have. If you're a young person and you've been raised in the church, don't ever take it for granted. It is so easy to do. There are so many people that do not have the Word of God. What a privilege you have to hear the Word of God from your tables, to discuss it with your parents, to be taken and to hear the gospel being preached. What joy. What joy. Number 5. An old blindness. Verse 11. An old blindness. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. An old blindness. I was talking to the children there earlier about if you cover your eyes, you can't see where you're going. One of the things, we feel almost uncomfortable doing that, don't we? If we close our eyes, we get a bit scared, we get a bit self-conscious. Why? Because we don't like not to know what's going on around us. With the true light of Christ, you can see. How many of us will go to work with a blindfold on? Will drive a car with a blindfold? If you ever saw a man driving a car with a blindfold, you think they were insane. But the most important truth in this world is contained in the Scriptures. Do you understand it? Nothing comes close to this. Nothing even comes. There's no comparison. Christ is that true light. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us that He's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. If you were walking at night on a dark road with no reflectors, and you were wearing black on a narrow country road, I dare say anyone who cares for you will tell you you are being reckless, dangerous, and a car might hit you. To neglect this light is far more reckless. Because the consequences are not getting hit by a car. The consequences are eternity. Do you have this light? The whole point of this blindness here, this spiritual blindness, is that you don't know that you're blind. You think these things are normal. I've met many a people from this province have told me they've come to faith, raised in a Christian home, come to faith in their 20s. And have lost brothers and sisters. It's a tragedy. Now it's all of grace and it's in the Lord's hands. Don't you dare think for a second because you've been raised in a Christian home, I'm okay. And that is the cause of your assurance. Is there light in your path? Do you walk in Him? Do you rejoice to walk in Him? Do you see everything in the Word of God as glorious? There'll be things you might struggle with. Why would you grope in the dark? Without that new light in Christ, without that people talk about new, exciting today. This is the most exciting thing in this world. There are more ways, there are more Bibles probably available, maybe in the history, perhaps of this province, I'm not too sure. And how much do we spend in the Word of God? How much access do we have to godly Christian books? And how much time do we devote to them? Without that light, you're blind. Blind to what? Blind to sin. You're blind to hope. Because what you think is hope is not hope. Blind to joy. And you're blind to eternity. I pray that that is not you. Dear Christian, flee from darkness and embrace the light in Christ. The new light. If you don't see that this is the most exciting thing, repent. Trust in Him. There's joy and peace that passes all understanding. You may have struggled in your Christian walk up until this day. No longer say to yourself, go home today. Lock yourself away and take this word out and get on your knees. Cry out to Him. Lord, I want to know more of You. Lord, I want to drink from the fountains of living water that I am more and more satisfied in You. Not the entertainment. Not all the things that we add to church life to try and keep people from leaving. But that Christ would be enough for you, your family, your community. Because here's what's going to happen. If you have such a love for something, if you spend so much time studying something, if you are filled with joy over something, it will overflow like a fountain. And you won't be able to contain that light. People will see it. You want to witness more, spend time more with God so that the light will shine forth. In conclusion, do you see how this is an old truth? This is not something new. There are covenant mercies and promises that we should not neglect. God promises to be a God unto you and unto your children. Absolutely and yes. But at the same time, it must be tempered with this. Everyone is called to repent and believe the gospel. Do you study your Old Testament? Do you read the Word of God consecutively? Are you earnestly seeking for the light of the truth of God's Word? Study the Word of God. Read through consecutively throughout the whole Bible. See how this is precious and new light. Do you pray that the light that you have will increase? And that will often scare some of you because it may require more from you. I know it makes me sometimes reluctant, because the more light God gives us, the more he expects. If he gives you a little bit of light, dear Christian, and you neglect it, will he give you more? Are you seeing a growth in grace, a growth in light, a growth in and a joy? What I'm presenting before you here is not, here are more rules to follow. These are rules, if you want to call them, the commandments to love a person in Christ Jesus. And here is his very characteristics. Here is who he is. Love him, embrace him, for he is the greatest hope, the greatest joy you will ever find. Do you see that there's a warmth in that light? A warmth, an embrace in that light. Small children love to give their parents a hug. There is love. There's a tender love, dear Christian, that God has for you. Do you know that? Why do we neglect that? Why do we neglect that relationship? Darkness offers you nothing but darkness. Will you cling to Christ? Will you trust in him? Will you rejoice in him? And will you pray for those who are blind? You may have a full assurance and praise the Lord that you are confident that you, if you die today, that you would spend an eternity with God. That he would say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you've been represented by the advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will stand interceding on your behalf. Praise the Lord. But will you pray for those who are stumbling? Will you pray for those who are blind? So that they may find Christ. Are you burdened that this province would have filled churches once again? That the gospel will go forth with mighty power. Are you encouraging your brethren? Are you encouraging the eldership here in this church? Light inspires us. Light illuminates the word of God. I pray that it may shine in your hearts today. Amen.